Yes, if you're saved, what we're going to be dealing with and going to be preaching and teaching about and through, thank God in heaven we will not be here. God has not appointed us unto wrath. Praise the Lord. However, I believe with all my heart that people we know, people who are living, walking, and talking and breathing tonight will be here. Sadly, for what we're going to be looking at, and that's the time of Jacob's trouble. And so I want you to look with me, if you will, in Jeremiah chapter number 30. Keep your Bibles open. We will be going some other places. I don't do that much, but we will be for this. Jeremiah chapter number 30, verse number 6 and verse number 7. The Bible says, "Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. Alas, for the day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." The Bible said through the penmanship of Jeremiah that that day is great so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. And I cannot leave off that last phrase, but he shall be saved out of it. I want to clarify. That is speaking to not people who have heard the gospel. People who have heard the gospel will not have a chance nor opportunity to be saved after the rapture of the church. Are you hearing me? The Bible said God will send strong delusion to make them believe a lie. If you've heard the gospel, you say, "Well, I'll just wait till the rapture and then I'll know that this is real and I'll know that I ain't got but 7 years left and so I'll get saved then." You are fooling yourself. You are sadly mistaken, because this when God said, "But he shall be saved out of it," the he that he is speaking of is none other than his people, the chosen people of Israel. When the rapture of the church takes place, when God comes in the clouds and God comes and Jesus himself descends from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and raptures the church, every born-again believer will go with him and meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Praise God. What a time. What a time. If you're saved, you ought to be rejoicing over that. And when I get done preaching through this series, you ought to be rejoicing even more after we're reminded of just how bad it's going to get. But when the rapture, listen, do you realize that God, because of, and I'll deal with these verses in just a few moments, but God turned his back on the children of Israel. God had it up to here. The God of all grace, the God of that's full of mercy, the God who was so long-suffering time and time and time again went back to his people and went back to the children of Israel and the apple of his eye, those that he chose out and picked unto himself, and God continued to go back to them, and they stiffened their neck and they hardened their heart and they turned against God and they flaunted God and rolled their eyes at God. And for the last time, God said, "Okay, Israel, okay, though I've chosen you, I will turn against you." And he did. And you wonder why the world hates that Jew? You wonder why the Jew, more than any other race or creed of people, are hated. And in America, there's 2% of the people in America, the population of America, only 2% are Jewish. Yet it's 62% of the hate crimes and the vicious crimes are targeted toward the Jew. Why? I'll tell you why. Because there's a real devil. that hates God and His people. And listen, it goes all the way back. When God said enough is enough and I will turn you over to yourself, you stiff-necked, hard-hearted people, as good as I've been to you, even my own choice people, I will turn against you. And He did. And every Gentile dog in here ought to say, praise God. Because when He turned away from the Jew, He turned open and flung the doors wide open to whosoever will. I mean, to every Gentile, to every kindred, tongue, and nation, to the four corners of the world. Jesus on the cross spread His arms wide to the world and said, come. And that's how we got in. And from that time, from the time God turned away from Israel, and then that dispensation of grace was ushered in, and the church began. And for these thousands of years since grace was entered in and the church had begun, God's mind, God's heart, and God's attention has been on the church. We preach all the time about how much Jesus loved the church, how He died for the church and purchased the church with His own blood. But keep in mind, and please know this, if you're ever going to understand your Bible, if you're ever going to be able to rightly divide the word of truth, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved. Listen, a workman need not be ashamed rightly dividing the word of truth. If you're ever going to get the word of God and be able to rightly divide it, you've got to know that sometimes God is speaking to certain people in the Word of God and not to others. Yes, we can learn. Yes, it's advantageous to us. Yes, it's profitable for us to see what God and how God dealt with His children, the chosen, so we can learn. Because if He would do that to them and do that for them and then turn against them, so will He with the church. And he's going to. He's going to take the church out of here. And then immediately when we're raptured out of here, God's full attention, God's full heart will be turned back to that Jew. And where we will pick up reading and the time of Jacob's trouble and the whole tribulation period, and from that point on, all of that is God turning back to that Jew. And that last part of that verse where he said, and he, God will save them. He's talking about God's going to turn back to that Jew and He's going to finally convince them that He is the God that they have denied, that He is the God, that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is Lord and King. And it takes all of what we're going to deal with to convince the Jews. But they will be saved and they will be convinced and they will be converted and the world will experience one of the greatest revivals ever known to humanity. And untold scores of people will be saved during this time. But oh, what a time. The time of Jacob's trouble. And so, by way of introduction, I want to say we will be looking at this period of time known as Jacob, the time of Jacob's trouble. That phrase, as we just read, is found in Jeremiah 30, verses 6 and 7. And in these verses, Jacob, the nation of Israel, is portrayed like a man who is about to give birth. The man is suffering great pains and he's bowed in agony. The Bible tells us that there's no day to compare to those that Israel must endure. However, verse 7 shows us that Israel will be saved out of those days. Praise the Lord. Listen, I see what's going on. The geopolitical stages are being set. And I see nations rising over here and nations coming from the south over here and Russia throwing in with China and Iran and all them coming from this way just like the Word of God said it would happen. And the whole world's gathering in around Israel. But thank God we've got the Word of God and we know they will not overtake that Jew. They will not overtake Israel. That little dot on your map, God in heaven will stand with them and stand for them, and the world can't overthrow them. Amen. So don't you worry about them. They're going to be all right. They're going to be all right because God said He was going to save Israel. through those days. By way of introduction, I'd like to share two major reasons for this time known as the tribulation period. There's multitudes of reasons, but we'll just hit the main two. Number one, why the tribulation? Why this time of Jacob's trouble? I believe number one is to punish the Gentile nations that God had turned to and opened up to for the salvation. The rich, very expensive, the most expensive salvation could ever be provided, paid for by His Son's own blood. And God turned to the Gentile nations of the world and said, whosoever will, let him come. And we, like the Jew, this world, just like the Jew, turned from God and stiffened our neck and bowed our chest and snubbed God and said, we don't want you. We don't care about you. We'll trample your Son's blood. And God will punish and God will mete out justice to every God-denying, Jesus-hating man, woman, boy, girl, and nation that turned against Jesus. And so number one, the reason for the tribulation will be to punish the Gentile nations. Romans chapter 1, verse 18, the Bible said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So it's very clear. People say, how can a loving God send people to hell? I'll tell you, listen to me. God's given every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, every opportunity in the world to be saved. And nobody will ever be able to point a finger at God and say, you've done me wrong and you didn't give me chance and opportunity. No, God has done everything He could. So when it's time for judgment to be poured out, God will not hold back, and He will judge and bring judgment to the Gentile world. Revelation 19:15 speaks of this as well. For many thousands of years, men have spurned the call and grace of God to repentance and salvation. And during the tribulation period, God will visit the wicked humanity with the fruits of their sin, and He'll mete out His divine judgment. So number one, He's going to judge the Gentile world for their sin and unrighteousness. Number two reason for the tribulation and the time of Jacob's trouble is to purge the people of Israel. Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 37 and 8, Zechariah 13, 8 and 9, Malachi 3:3 all speaks of this. The nation of Israel is guilty of rejecting the Messiah and having part in His death. They crucified Him. However, God will use the terrors of the tribulation to prepare Israel for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Not the rapture, but I mean the second coming of the Lord. The second advent of God, where Jesus don't just come in the clouds, but Jesus comes and He sets His feet on the Mount of Olives and He comes back and He will declare Himself as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. The nation of Israel is going to be the very place Jesus returns to. When Jesus returns to earth in all of His power and glory, He will be met by a believing remnant of Jews. This is at the end of the Great Tribulation. This is at the end of the time of Jacob's trouble. And when Jesus comes, He will be met by that remnant of Jews that have been saved during the tribulation, that have endured the tribulation, that have suffered and suffered and suffered. And there they'll see their Messiah come. And I want to say that I will be covering some frightening and scary material during these next couple of weeks in the course of this message. However, listen to me, we need to hear it. We need to understand these things because there are many people that we love that are going to go through this. I want to take a moment. I want to pause. And I just want you to think of somebody you love dearly that you know is lost. Picture them. Think about them. Because I pray to God this next couple of weeks will push us and compel us to do everything we can to pray like we've never prayed and witness like we've never witnessed and give like we've never given so that nobody will have to go through this hell on earth before they go to hell, the lake of fire. I'm speaking of those who never repented and trusted Christ as their Savior, believed on the name of the Lord Jesus. These people, if Jesus returns in their lifetime, will face the things that we'll be discussing throughout the course of this message. Those of us who are saved will not be here, not for a moment, not for a second of these things. But we too need to hear it. We need to know it. We need to understand it. We need our hearts stirred about the lost, the millions, the billions of people that will be left behind. We need our hearts stirred. We need to realize that the responsibility of reaching the world before this tribulation gets here is on our shoulders. Those of us who have been saved, those of us who have experienced the good grace of God and been truly born again and truly tasted of the Lord and seen that He is good, those of us that have had our sins washed, it's on our shoulders. No wonder it's called the Great Commission. No wonder this is the last thing Jesus said before He ascended in the sky. And they said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing?" This same Jesus that went up, He's coming back. And right before He left, He said, "You go and tell every man. You go preach the gospel to every creature. You win your family. You win your friends. You don't let them get to Jacob's trouble. You don't let them go through the tribulation. You don't let them go to hell. Go tell." He could, listen, He could encourage them. He could have strengthened them. But He gave that commission because He knew, as much as He knew He was dying and going to be resurrected, that the time of Jacob's trouble would come and hell to follow. And the last thing He said was go win the world. What a responsibility God put on us. May the Lord use these truths to stir hearts to action. Listen, not just stir us up emotionally, not just scare us. You say, "Preacher, I don't think y'all scare people." I read you a verse this morning that said you should. Go back and read the book of Jude. It said, "Some saving with compassion, others by fear, plucking them out of the fire." If I can scare somebody to get saved, I'll scare them. If I can have compassion on others to get them saved, I'll have compassion. I'm saying whatever it takes to get them removed and away from this time I'm going to be preaching about, I say do it. What Paul said, "I became this to them and I became that to them." He would adapt to whatever situation he was put in that he may win them to Christ. Having said all those things, I want us to spend some time this evening in the 24th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Turn there. Matthew chapter 24. We have just been there in the recent days. And I want to go back there this evening. Keep your Bibles open. Matthew chapter number 24. Just keep your Bibles open there. Matthew chapter 24, I'm not going to re-preach what we already have, but this is a great depiction, and this is interwoven. This speaks of the time that's leading up to the rapture. Then it's speaking of parts of the tribulation itself in Matthew chapter 24. And so, as we go forward and think about the time of Jacob's trouble, number one, I want to say and deal with how the tribulation commences. Verses 1 through 14 of Matthew chapter 24 deals with the commencement of the tribulation. This passage is part of a sermon preached by none other than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, known as the Olivet Discourse. This message came about as Jesus and His disciples were at the temple. Jesus told them that eventually the temple would be destroyed, that burdened them, as we preached about, and that caused them and probed them to ask the question, when is these things going to be? How are we going to know? And that's what we've been preaching on. So I'm not going to spend time there. But in verses 1 through 4, it intrigued them to ask to know more details. And in the message, Jesus tells them some of the events that will transpire during the tribulation. And even though these words were spoken to the disciples, they are a message also to the nation of Israel and to every believer. The first half of the tribulation will be a time, number one, of spiritual deception. Look at verse 5 in Matthew chapter 24. The Bible said, verse 5, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Drop down in verse number 11. "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." The time of Jacob's trouble will be a time of spiritual deception. They will be men popping up and saying, "I'm the way, I'm the Messiah, I'm Christ." You say, "Well, my goodness, we ain't seen nothing like that." Are you serious? I encourage you, go home tonight when church is over. Don't do it while I'm preaching, but go home tonight and Google how many people claim to be Christ. How many of y'all old enough to remember a man out of Waco, Texas by the name of David Koresh? Yeah, y'all remember that nut job? Claimed to be Jesus. What about the Kool-Aid man? Yeah, Jim Jones. Claimed the same. Then they were many others. I mean, many others. And they will come. I mean, the crazies will crawl out of the woodwork during the tribulation claiming to be Christ. And there'll be a time of spiritual deception. There'll be many false Christs and false prophets. However, no power or the fame that will be enjoyed by the Antichrist and his false prophets, according to Revelation 13, the two reprobates from hell will deceive the world into believing that they are literally God. And they will demand the worship of men. This will happen in the tribulation, and the masses will follow and fall down and worship them as God. You say, "Well, I would never do that." If you're saved, you won't have to. But the Bible said even the elect would be deceived if it wasn't for the grace of God and the goodness of God. I'm telling you, the very elect, the Antichrist is going to have so much power and so much deception. I mean, listen, he's going to die in front of somebody and raise back up. He's going to have all the power of hell. And may I remind us all that the devil is the most powerful being God ever created. Look at the havoc he wreaks on the world now. And in this time, he's saving it all to pour out. Oh yeah, the masses will be deceived. The tribulation will be a spiritual time, but it will be marked by great deception. One of the great tools used by the Antichrist to deceive the world will be his ushering in a time of peace. What if a man, I mean, just we ain't in the tribulation. We're headed there quick before we get out of here, but the world's being set, the stage is being set. and look at the chaos. Look at the anarchy. Look at how everything's absolutely falling apart, nation against nation, and continent against continent. And listen, it's all in a mess. And what if a man stepped on the scene and literally produced peace for the world? That would grab the attention of the world. And it ain't a what if, it's a when he does, because he's going to. And sadly, it'll be a false peace, but it will be a season of peace that he ushers in, but it will not last. But it'll be there long enough to get the masses of the world to follow him and bow down and call him God. According to Revelation 6:2 and Daniel 8:25, we're already seeing these things being manifested in our times. False prophets abound, however, they are just the tip of the iceberg. Not only will there be spiritual deception, but number two, there'll be social devastation. Look at verses 6 through 13 in Matthew 24. The Bible said, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are the beginnings of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." It's going to be a time of social devastation. I mean, if you think the social fabric is coming apart now, just wait till the tribulation. We ain't seen nothing compared to what's coming. The tribulation period will be marked by an increase of instability in society. Notice these pictures that are given here. This time will be marked by disruptions in verses 6 and 7. There will be an increase in warfare, hostilities between nations. Look around already. And we're not even there yet. This is just the beginning. It's going to be unlike anything the world's ever seen. The false peace instituted by the Antichrist will not last, and it will be replaced by the devastation, not just of nation against nation, but a world war will break out. And that peace will come unraveled just as fast as it was put together. Now, this is made clear in the book of Revelation 6:4. That's that rider of the red horse. There will be an increase, listen, in anti-Semitism. People hating the Jew and persecuting the Jew. Hello? We're living in the beginning of sorrows now. Can you see in your lifetime, have you ever seen a world rising up and hating the Jewish people, the anti-Semitic movement that is on the march? I mean, every Muslim country around the world, all those enemies that are gathered around Israel, they hate that Jew. But sadly, it ain't just them. It ain't just the Muslims of the world. It ain't just those countries that's always hated them. It ain't just Russia and China and Egypt. And listen, no. Look to America. There's a poll given from the ages of 17 to 32 in America. 48% side with Hamas, who just butchered the Jews. That's our children. That's our children's groups and ages in America. They're the ones coming by the tens of thousands and marching all over this country saying, "Gas the Jews." I ain't talking about Hitler in his time. I'm not talking about the Nazis in their time. We got Nazis in their time. And they have been radicalized, and they have been indoctrinated to hate those Jews. And they were the one massacred. And have you noticed the news when October the 7th happened, when that massacre happened, when that wickedness happened? Every news media, even the liberal news media, they were saying, stand with Israel, stand with Israel, and we back Israel. And, oh, how terrible and how wicked. And it's been no time at all. And all you hear now, cut the news on and listen and look for, all you hear now is a ceasefire. We need a ceasefire. Israel is killing the Palestinians. They're killing innocent women and babies and children. They've went too far. They're going too far. And the world is already turned this quick. They've forgotten about the butchered babies, the beheaded babies, the massacred families. They've already forgotten the blood that run in the streets. And all they preaching and screaming and pushing and promoting is how wicked the Jew is. I'd say it's a rise of anti-Semitism. And we're not even in the tribulation yet. But it ought to let us know how close we are. Matthew 24:9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. It's talking about the Jew. And shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Why is the Jew hated? Because they are associated with and known as God's people. And the devil and all of hell and all of hell's angels and all of the devil's minions have polluted and perverted the minds of men. And that's why they hate him. And that's why they'll persecute him and afflict him and kill them. Daniel 7:25, the Bible said, and he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into the hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. Again, many of these things seem to be going on all around us already. For instance, the world's political scene is becoming increasingly unstable, if you haven't noticed. Now, small nations ruled by unprincipled men have nuclear capability. Economic pressures are forcing countries to seek the resources that belong to its neighboring country for their very survival. The world is poised for war. There is a marked increase of hatred toward the Jews and Jewish people in today's society. This is profoundly clear in the attitude of Israel's neighbors, the Palestinians and the Arabs, who would love nothing more than the total annihilation and destruction of the Jewish people. By the way, I want to clarify something. I'm not being political. I'm being factual. And you young people need to hear me. You hear two-state solution. This ain't about land. Hey, this is about a people. Do you hear how they are committing atrocities with the Palestinian people, and they're killing babies and children and mamas? Listen to me. I'm telling you upon the authority of God's word. They hate that Jew, and they will lie about that Jew, and they have turned against them, and it ain't popular, it ain't culturally correct. Listen, it ain't politically correct, Palestine and those people have always hated the Jew. I've read their charter. I'm not talking about Hamas. I'm talking about the Palestinian people. Their charter, their charting document states that they seek the total destruction and annihilation of the Jewish people. That's in their constitution. It ain't about land. It's about they want to destroy God's people. So all this propaganda being pushed about, it's about a two-state solution. It's about land and a dispute over land. That's hogwash, and that is absolutely a slanted view trying to manipulate people from knowing the truth. God gave the Jews that land. It's their land, and it always will be their land for here forevermore. And I ain't just talking about to the end of the world. I'm talking about from now throughout eternity. That's their land. God gave it to them. It's their birthright, and they'll have it. And the devil and all his minions won't be able to take it away, period. You got to be careful what you listen to. Because when you start hearing the media and the wicked talking heads of this society and world, they will play on your emotions. You say, and I scratch my head, Cricket. I thought, well, how in the world is our teenagers marching saying, gas the Jews? Where did that come from? Who would have thought? And I'm telling you, these universities have handpicked and pulled in and brought in from other countries, God-hating, God-denying, Israel-hating, Israel, want people who can't stand the Jew, and they have been indoctrinating year after year and teaching and pushing, and it's got in our young people. It's undeniable. Almost 50% side with those who just terrorized and butchered and massacred innocent people. And we got people marching in the streets saying, gas those who got killed. And they will play on our emotions and talk about the innocent being bombed. War is war. War is hard. War is ugly. Read the Word of God. It's all through there. But hear me, you can't just go in and kill only the terrorists when the terrorists are hiding under the hospitals and when the terrorists get in the ambulances, and then the media will take pictures of the ambulance and say, Israel bombed an ambulance. Israel bombed an ambulance. Listen, because the terrorists got in the ambulance holding people at gunpoint. Dressed up like women, dressed up like children. I mean, these are wicked, demon-possessed people. And yet our media and those in hierarchy are pushing this propaganda on our children, doing everything in their power to turn the world, and they are succeeding against Israel. How many of y'all have noticed the turn? It's changed already. It's also my conviction that they will attempt this during the first part of the tribulation. Listen, Ezekiel 38 and 39 seems to indicate Russia, it's already happening. Russia will be involved in this attempt to destroy Israel, but the plan will fail. They will not overthrow, they will not destroy Israel, and the plan will fail, and Israel will use the weapons of this warfare to provide fuel for their people to live prosperously for 7 years. Now, I'm going to read you, not my opinion. I'm going to read you not what some commentary said. I'm going to read you what God said about this. Ezekiel chapter 39, turn there. Ezekiel chapter number 39. In verse number 6. Ezekiel 39, verse 6. Goodness. I don't know whose rag it is, but I'm burning. It's dirty. Ezekiel chapter 39. Ezekiel chapter 39, verse 6. This is speaking of none other than Russia. He said, "But I thought the Soviet Union was destroyed and buckled and down to nothing." When God says there's going to be a nation at the end, there's going to be a nation at the end. And God said Russia was going to be one of Israel's arch enemies that would come in and try to destroy them. And you can take a map of the Bible days and a current map and lay them over the top of each other, and I can prove to you who this is speaking about. This is speaking of none other than Russia and China. And they will join together and they will come against the nation of Israel. Ezekiel 39, verse 6. "And I will send a fire on Magog and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles, and they shall know that I am the Lord. This is after Gog and Magog. This is after they come in and the river Euphrates is dried up, and China and Russia and Egypt will come together, and all those Muslim nations, they will come together and they will march right into Israel through the Euphrates River that has dried up, and they will try to overtake Israel. And God will say, stop no further. And God will give the weapons to Israel to annihilate them. And God himself will put a stop to it. And this is where we pick up reading. And I will send a fire on Magog and among them that dwell carelessly in the isle, and they shall know that I am the Lord. So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel. And I will not let them pollute my holy name anymore. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, it is come, and it is done, saith the Lord God. This is the day whereof I have spoken. And they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth and shall set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers and the bows and the arrows and the hand staves and the spears, and they shall burn them with fire. How many years? 7 years. No coincidence. How many years of the tribulation? So that they shall take no wood out of the field, neither cut down any out of the forest, for they shall burn the weapons with fire, and they shall spoil those that spoiled them, and rob those that robbed them, saith the Lord God. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will give unto Gog a place there of graves in Israel, the valley of the passengers on the east of the sea, and it shall stop the noses of the passengers, and there shall they bury Gog and all the multitude, and they shall call it the valley of Hamon Gog. In 7 months shall the house of Israel be burying of them, that they may cleanse the land. Yea, all the people of the land shall bury them, and it shall be to them a renown of that day that I shall be glorified, saith the Lord God. And they shall sever out of men of continual employment passing through the land to bury with the passengers those that remain upon the face of the earth to cleanse it. And after the end of 7 months shall they search. And the passengers that pass through the land, when they seeth a man's bone, then shall be set up a sign by it till the buriers have buried it in the valley of Hamon Gog. And also the name of the city shall be Hamanah, and thus shall they cleanse the land. Listen, thou son of man, thus saith the Lord God, speak unto every feathered fowl and every beast of the field, assemble yourselves and come, gather yourselves on every side to sacrifice to my sacrifice that I do sacrifice for you, and even a great sacrifice upon the mountains of Israel, that ye may eat flesh and drink blood. Ye shall eat the flesh of the mighty and drink the blood of the princes of the earth, and rams and lambs and goats of bullocks and all of the all the fatlings of Bashan. And ye shall eat the fat till ye be full, and drink blood till ye be drunken, and my sacrifice which I have sacrificed for you. Thus ye shall be filled at my table with horses and chariots, with mighty men, with the men of war, saith the Lord God. And I will set my glory among the heathen, and the heathen shall see my judgment that I have executed, and my hand that I have laid upon them. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day forward. According to their uncleanliness and according to their transgressions have I done unto them and hid my face from them. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, now I will bring again the captivity of Jacob and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my holy name. After they have borne their shame and all their trespasses whereby they have trespassed against me, when they dwell safely, where? In their land. They ain't going to be driven out. They're going to be safely in their land, and none made them afraid. I I got a couple more verses to read and we'll be done. But listen for tonight. But listen, it's amazing to me. I'll watch the news and I'll watch on Fox News that guy. He's a tremendous, he ought to win a Nobel Peace, not a Nobel Peace Prize. What do they give a journalist for doing great work? Whatever it is, he ought to get it. A Pulitzer, yeah, Pulitzer, I think. But anyway, Trey Yinks is his name, and he's over there, and he's been over, like, reporting day and night in the battle. I mean, he's in it. He'd be talking, and I mean, have to just jump to the ground because rockets whizzing by his head, and then jump in a tank, and he was, the day he was down in Gaza, a mile in the, and they got anti-tank missiles pointed at them. And he's doing this reporting, but what's amazing to me, and I read this verse today, and the Lord just brought my mind to this. I ain't heard one Jew scared yet. They'll put a microphone in one of them Jewish warriors' face, or one of them commanders from the Israelites' face, and they'll say, "Tell me, are you worried about this?" And I mean, not only are they not scared, like the Bible said, they wouldn't be afraid of nobody, nowhere. People are flocking. These Jews are leaving America. I mean, they're leaving Washington and Delaware and all over America and all over the world flying back to go to battle. They ain't afraid of nobody. Why is that? Because deep down they know the God of heaven is backing them. And it don't matter if it's Russia, China. I mean, people 10,000 times their size. They remember a day when they was a giant standing against their King David, and God slew that giant, and God will slew every giant that will stand before Israel, any warrior, any army that comes against those Jews. I promise you, they will not drive them out of the land, and we better stand with Israel. We better bless Israel, because God's going to bless those that bless them, and God's going to curse those that curse them. Let me read these last two verses and make one comment and we'll be done for tonight. "Then shall you know that I am the Lord their God, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen. But I have gathered them." Listen, tell me if this don't ring a bell. God said, "But I have gathered them unto their own land, and have left none of them any more there. Neither will I hide my face anymore from them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord." God said, "I've gathered them." There's going to be a great coming together. There's going to be a great going home. I mean, and I'm telling you, for the last, since 1948, that Jew has been headed home from all four corners of the world. They have been a mass exodus of every nation, every place the Jews are, and they are filling up that little place called Israel, and they're coming home, and God's gathering His children home, and they're there to stay. That excites me. Why? Because for thousands of years, Israel was on the ash heap. They were drove out of their country. They were drove out of the place. Y'all remember me preaching about Canaan lands just inside? That's where it all started. When God promised Moses, God promised him, He said, "I'm going to give you that land. And wherever the sole of your feet will touch, it's yours." And they got it and they lived there. And because of the hardness of their heart and the sin and the unrighteousness, God turned His back and drove them. They were taken into captivity. And they're the only nation, search it, the only nation in the history of time that's ever rose from the ash heap and assembled itself together and become a nation again and thrived. And in 1948, that little white and blue flag with the Star of David rose, and they became a nation again. And God, you say, "What's this got to do with me?" God said, "This generation shall not pass before the coming of the Lord." That was 1948. How long do you think a generation is? Even if I'm wrong, what if it's 70 years? All right, mathematician, what's 70 plus 48?
That is 118.
That'd be 2018. All right, mathematician, was that 5 years ago? So it's been 75 years. So that generation's getting close. I mean close. And God said it wouldn't pass. Not that one. Not when He rises them out of the ash heap and brings them all back home and makes them a nation again. And we ain't even gotten to the bad, nasty, when God pours out the vials and the plagues and all and all that we're going to get into. But I want to set the stage tonight and just brag on the goodness of God. If He could do that for Israel, and He did, and He's doing it. I don't care if the whole world turns against them. I'm standing for them. I mean loud and proud. I ain't backing down. I ain't backing up. I mean, I'm telling you, if you got any sense at all, you better stand with the Jew. You better pray for the Jew. Amen? Because God's neck is already turning back to them. And that means as He turns to them, He's bringing us up to heaven with Him. And the dispensation turns. The dispensation of grace, the dispensation of the church, the door to salvation is closing. That ought to shake every one of us. I'll close by saying what I started with. Those that have heard the gospel can't afford to miss the rapture. They're as good as in hell. So we got a lot to do and a short time to do it. Wouldn't you agree? Let's stand. I'm give out. You look give out.